you for tuning in to the Epiphany program on Holy Family Radio with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich. I'm your program producer, Luke Zemlich. On Epiphany, our goal is to have a moment, an epiphany that will bring us all closer to God. So stick around to have an epiphany with us. Welcome to the Epiphany radio program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich with the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and my home parish is St. John Bosco in Matawan, St. Margaret Mary in Marcellus. That's where I usually hang out at. But we got a special guest here with us today on the Epiphany radio program, Jensen Joseph with Shalom Media, and their website is shalomworld.org, and we'll talk more about that. Jensen, welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here with us. And as we were speaking earlier about some of the great things that Shalom Media is doing in Shalom World, it is if you're at home or something and you want to go to their website and look at some of the great things they're doing there as you're listening to the show, you can do that as well. So we're gonna start off asking Jensen some things about his family and maybe even a few things about his story and how he has come to this job of working for Shalom Media. Mm-hmm. It's a part-time thing, or
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about maybe your story, how this happened to be?
Yes. So basically, I attended a Shalom festival in Detroit, Michigan, in the summer of 2012.
Okay.
Awesome. It was actually a key time because my family had gone to India for 2.5 months, so I had a lot of time, and this opportunity came up, and I decided to attend. But during the last adoration, on the last day of the festival, I saw kind of like a vision, you know, and what I saw was a library card, you know, and I heard in my mind a message, and the message was this: get rid of it.
Get rid of the library card.
And when I heard that, I knew exactly what it meant. Now, here's the background. You know, I used to live in Battle Creek, Michigan, where the company I work for is located. And several years ago, I moved to Kalamazoo, Michigan, about a half-hour drive from Battle Creek. But what I did not do was I did not get rid of the Battle Creek public library card.
Okay.
And the reason was this library had a good collection of movies, and I just loved watching movies.
Okay.
This, in fact, led to a life of complacency. I used to sit up late to watch a movie. Spiritual exercises became secondary. The lifestyle became very lukewarm.
Okay.
When I do pray or attend Sunday Mass, there is not much feeling, but dryness.
Interesting.
Not much emotion, sometimes boredom. After adoration, at the conclusion of the Detroit Shalom Festival, I came to my cousin's house and I tore up the library card in my wallet. The next day, I attended the Sunday Mass at the Indian church there. As the Mass begins, I suddenly began to cry uncontrollably. Hmm. And I'm asking myself, what is going on? Why am I crying? This question is ringing loud in my mind. Immediately, the thought that comes to my mind is as follows. You are crying because you have started to experience a small fraction of the pain that is in the heart of Jesus.
Wow.
Another thought comes to my mind soon after, and it is as follows. Many years back, as a teenager and young adult, I saw myself participating in the Eucharistic celebrations at the Sierra Malabar Church in Chicago, and crying uncontrollably, especially during feast days, Holy Week, Christmas. The reason being, the church was packed, and I saw so many young faces, and I asked, I prayed, I desired, Lord, how awesome it would be if all of them experienced your love and touch, and I would cry for most of the Mass.
Wow.
There was an intense pain in my heart. I felt it, and I cried uncontrollably. It was the pain of the Heavenly Father. Several years later, I moved to a smaller city, and slowly but subtly, I began to pursue the vanities of life and the worldly pleasures. I was in my comfort zone.
Mm.
These are the painkillers, And once I started taking them, I did not feel the pain in the heart of Jesus, which led to a life of complacent living.
Wow.
The message was very clear to me. Get rid of the painkillers. There are some pains that we need to carry in our soul throughout our lives, especially the pain of the Heavenly Father. I came home that night, you know, after the Detroit festival, and I sat down to pray the rosary. It was 8 p.m. Usually I'm able to finish in about 10 to 15 minutes and move on to the next thing. But today was different. I sat down and I began to cry again uncontrollably. And these words were ringing loud in my mind. Fire, fire, consuming fire. I looked at my watch. It was 8:30 p.m. I had not begun to pray the rosary yet. Next day I get up to pray. I go to Mass. I'm driving to work. During all these times, there are several minutes where I'm just crying. And the words keep ringing again and again in my mind. Fire, fire, consuming fire.
Wow.
When I got rid of the library card, one painkiller, I started to feel a fraction of the pain in the heart of Jesus. And I began to cry uncontrollably. I began to pray. I began to thirst as Jesus did. And my dear brothers and sisters, the question is, what are the painkillers in your life?
Yeah.
You know, get rid of them that you may answer the call to prayer, penance, evangelization as the Holy Spirit leads you. So this is really my testimony. You know, basically at a point in my life where I was starting to fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, and this experience woke me up. You know,
fantastic.
It woke me up, and today here I am.
Fantastic.
You know.
What a fantastic witness.
Praise God.
Jensen, I'll tell you, that is amazing.
Praise God.
That is amazing. Praise God indeed.
Yeah.
And so we get started here, and you start off with, you know, tell me your story. And wow.
Praise God.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And so it starts with adoration.
Yes. Yes.
You and God face to face.
Face to face, yes.
And Him asking, she always asks us these wonderful things.
Yes.
Sometimes very quite simple things. Get rid of the library card.
Yes.
And so this is the source of all this information, you know, that you can dump all this information in with, you know, movies or knowledge or whatever.
Yep.
But I'd love that. And then the final thing you say is, I thirst.
Yes.
And those are the words of Christ on the cross.
Yes, yes.
You know, at His passion.
Yes.
And wow. So what do you, so you thirst, and Shalom Media becomes this wonderful thing that is going to, of course, it's God, it's Jesus.
Yes.
It's the Holy Spirit that is going to fill you up and help others to experience the same thing. This is why we call this radio program the Epiphany Radio Program.
Yes.
Is this exact reason.
Yes.
This type of witness, this type of thing, and it's available for everyone.
Yes.
But it's these little things that we do that fill us up with all this junk, and when God tries to pour stuff in, it can't go in.
Yes.
Because we're full of this painkillers.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, you think about it, you think about, well, you know, getting rid of pain is a good thing.
Yes.
Maybe not. Maybe not a good thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you begin to feel. So you become, you start to become awake, alive. We call it in recovery coming back to life. You know, you start coming back to life.
Yes.
You start feeling things, and then you have to deal with it, even though it can be tough at times, but you don't have to do it alone.
Yes.
You don't have to feel these things alone. You can feel these things with the love of Jesus, with the love of the Blessed Mother, to be able to help you work through this stuff. So then what is the next step after that?
Yes, for me, I mean, basically, you know, and this is where, as I began to start to attend the leadership training of Shalom Media,
Okay. Everything
began to fall into sense, because I began to understand the heart of Catholic spirituality.
Very good.
You know, one thing that, as I have been talking to people, you know, people ask, okay, and I mean, this is a fundamental question and a very natural question. But as a common person, I may ask myself, if you look at the work of Shalom, you know, great. But as a common person, I ask myself, you know, what are you expecting to bring through the ministry that you're about to undertake or you're undertaking?
Right.
It's, and when their response is a new Pentecost. And the question that comes back at them immediately is, okay, Shalom, do you expect to bring about the new Pentecost by just simply starting a TV channel and expecting that people will just watch it? Or do you expect to bring about a new Pentecost by organizing Catholic conferences and expecting that people will just attend these events? Is this how you're planning to bring about the new Pentecost?
Right.
And the answer is no. And let me explain through an illustration.
Absolutely.
I am a parishioner at St. Monica Parish in Kalamazoo. When I walk through the doors of the church, I see on my left a rack with CDs from Lighthouse Media.
Yes.
My wife and I have a huge collection of these CDs. One day I decided to approach four different professional men in my church at different times and offered them a Lighthouse CD on the Holy Eucharist, a powerful talk by Jesse Romero. They all accepted and said they would listen. A week later, I followed up with one of the men who was an attorney when I saw him in church. I asked him if he listened to the CD. He told me, you know, Jensen, it is sitting in my car. All I have to do is just pop it into my CD player. I told him, please do,
yeah,
because I would like to share it with another person. A week later, I was going for a Saturday morning mass. I was walking towards the cry room with my kids, and I saw this attorney, his wife and kids running towards me. He comes to me and says, Jensen, thanks a lot for the CD, man. It was so powerful. Another professional man I approached was a dentist. After listening to the CD, he told me, Jensen, I listened to it three times. Man, you're really helping me in my faith. Another professional man I approached used to be my manager at Kellogg Company. I noticed recently that before he drops off his kids at St. Monica Catholic School in the morning, he's taking them to Adoration Chapel and spending a few minutes there with his kids. Recently, when I was driving him to work, he told me he's going on a vacation to Cancun, and he knows a couple of families there with whom he can share the Shalom Tidings magazine. So he's now thinking about evangelization.
Yeah.
And the question is, what happened to all these men? The reality is this. People, for some reason or another, are not motivated to tap into the existing resources of the Catholic Church. So as a Shalom representative, what I did was take their hand and take the hand of the church,
Amen,
the Lighthouse CD, and connected the two. When that connection happens, a light bulb goes on inside of them. They are suddenly thirsty for God. So what is the nature of Shalom Media? It's not just about starting a TV channel and expecting people to watch it, or it's not just about organizing Catholic conferences and expecting that people will attend these events. It's about person-to-person evangelization alongside the task of organizing conferences and launching a TV channel. Let's look at the Western world.
Yeah.
What is happening? Conferences are taking place and ministries are doing things, but spiritual decay is advancing rapidly. There is something wrong with this picture. The problem is this. We are trying to do ministry without sacrifice.
Right.
We are praying without shedding tears. We are trying to do ministry by remaining in our comfort zone. If you study the history of the Catholic Church, you will realize that no impact is made on the world by people who try to do ministry from their comfort zone. It does not work, it has not, and will not ever. The underlying problem is this, and here's another illustration. When I approach a person with a copy of the Shalom Tidings magazine, and I ask him if he would like to read the magazine, and this person looks me in the eye and politely refuses and says no, what I do is, after I've moved away from the man, I hit myself on the head and I tell myself, darn it, Jensen, I knew I should not have approached that man. Darn it. What is happening here? I am first of all embarrassed because this man refused to accept the magazine from my hands.
Right.
Secondly, I'm angry because I do not want to deal with his inconvenience. It makes me uncomfortable. I believe it should never have happened to me. It is exactly this type of attitude that forces us to remain in our comfort zone. We do not want to deal with any inconveniences.
Right.
So what is the invitation of Shalom? Let's step out of our comfort zone. When we do that, we experience pain, suffering. That's a guarantee and a fact.
Yes.
What is the heart of Catholic spirituality? Suffering is the most powerful instrument in the hands of God because He can do wonders with it. In the example above, you know, if I were to take the no that man said and my pain and my embarrassment, inconvenience, and offer it to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Mother for the salvation of souls, God will begin to open the hearts of people I will meet in the future. Not only that, God will even begin to work in the heart of the person who said no to me.
Amen.
Case in point, one of the Shalom representatives in Europe actually went to the house of an Indian family, and he was basically standing outside the house, and he was talking to the head of the household, the man over there, mm-hmm. and he said, "Would you like to read this magazine?" And he said, "No, we don't entertain those magazines in our home. We don't need that. Go away." He would not even let the representative enter his house.
Right.
And then the representative asked, "Is there any chance that your wife would be open to it?" And he said, "No, no, please go away. We don't need that." So the Shalom representative, you know, went back, and he basically prayed, and then he felt that he should go back again. So he went back to the house, and he put the magazine in their mailbox, and then he left. A few days later, the man of this house called him up to personally thank him for doing that, because there was one article in that magazine that he read, and something in that just struck him.
Yeah.
You know, and the representative was saying is that there are many people in that city where he shared the magazine with, and they accepted it. But this person who refused initially was the first person to call him to personally thank him for giving him that magazine.
Praise God.
You know, so this is an example of where if you take your suffering, that pain, and offer it to the Lord, He can do wonders with it.
Absolutely amazing. In case you're just joining us, we're meeting with Jensen Joseph. He's with Shalom Media. He's sharing some of his personal experiences and also his story, the evangelization that not only he's doing, but the whole idea behind evangelization and the new evangelization and getting outside of ourselves, getting outside of our comfort zone. And how many times each and every one of us feel, you know, we have that feeling, say hello to that person, smile at that person, just smiling at a person. Or when we say to a person, you know, there's some of these habits we need to break, is when the Holy Spirit is saying that to us, talk to them. Talk to them with love and kindness. You don't have to fix them. You don't have to make it perfect for them. You just talk with them. Just say, hello, how are you? How's it going? And people will open up to you. People will open up to you in amazing ways. And trust in the Holy Spirit. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus that it's going to go okay.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, this is and so many, you know, I think about, you know, of course, at the foot of the cross, you know, all the disciples are gone. You know, Mary Magdalene's there, and John is there, and the Blessed Mother is there. There's only everyone else is gone.
Yes.
So it's not unusual for everyone to feel this way. But for crying out loud, you can be John.
Yes.
You can be Mary. Yeah. You can be Mary Magdalene. You can be there.
Yes.
And just beautiful stuff. So let us continue. This is exciting.
Yes,
very exciting.
So really, the other thing that really drove home to me was, you know, again, so understanding this nature led me to ask two fundamental questions in my life. You know,
okay.
What can I do for my church? What can I do for the kingdom of God? And this is really when I woke up. These two questions have been playing again and again continuously in my mind.
And this has just happened in the last 2 years for you.
Yes.
So you're on fire.
Exactly.
Yes. Beautiful.
Yes. You know, so
keep going.
So really, you know, so my first thought was, I have got to do something. I cannot just sit here, you know, and and be inactive.
Right.
I have got to live my faith. I have got to do something for my church. You know, and I began to think about my life, how much blessings I have received through the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Through the people, the leaders in the church, you know, the priests. I mean, I have been blessed in so many ways. I need to give back something to the church. What can I do for the church? As a layperson, what can I do?
Right.
You know, and then the other question is, what can I do for the kingdom of God? You know, so really, in last year, in June, the idea that came to my mind was when I found out about the Shalom Tidings, you know, and how dynamic and beautiful this magazine was. Because the thing that attracted me about the magazine was, you know, it's not trying to teach a whole lot of theology. I mean, there is good theology in that, but what they're doing is they're finding people who are living in this day and age, in the 21st century, around the United States, finding their people, their stories, and bringing that to the public. You know,
all witnesses, personal witness stories.
Exactly.
So yeah.
And the amazing thing about these stories was these are people who experience the same struggles we do, day in and day out. But at some point in their life, they experience that grace of God and how they opened up themselves up to that and respond to that grace. You know. So I thought, you know what, this is a great tool.
Yeah.
I need to share this with people. So I called Shalom office up and said, I need 25 magazines, you know, give me, I want to just distribute. So I started passing them out to people in church, on the street, and then 25 wasn't enough. You know, so come July, August, I'm saying, you know what, this is not enough. I need 100. So I said, give me 100 magazines. So now I've got 100. And then 100 was not enough. So at the leaders training in October last year, 2013, I stood up at the end of the training, and they were asking for commitment from different people from around the country. You know, this was a leader, national leaders training. But I stood up and said, I need 500, you know, and I make a commitment, you know, to not only just hand it out random, but I'm going to find out what's happening in my diocese.
Right.
What is the Catholic Church doing in Kalamazoo? You know, what are the ministries that are out there? What are the church groups that are out there? What are the youth groups that are out there? Find out what they're doing. Connect with them. What are the events that are happening? Conferences,
absolutely,
retreats.
Yep. You bet.
You know, connect with the organizing committee and ask them, hey, I would like to do something, you know, to contribute to the success of your event, to the success of your ministry. Here's what I have, a magazine, you know. Yeah, and can you use this, you know?
Right.
So in this way, I basically, with this inspiration, I approached Becky Wrights, the principal at the St. Monica's School. I just set up a meeting with her, and I went to her office and talked about Shalom, showed up some of the promo videos, and I told her simply this. I said that my daughter goes to the school, but I care that every child in this school experience the love of God in a personal way.
Yes.
You know, here's what I have, these magazines. Can you do something with it? And she told me, yep, give me a box. So I gave her a box of magazines. And then a few weeks later, she told me this, that what she did was she posted the link to our website and the promo videos on the St. Monica School website. But in addition to that, she distributed the magazines to her 8th grade theology class. And what they did was they divided the kids into groups of 2 to 3, assigned them an article from the magazine and had him do a presentation. And she told me, Jensen, you wouldn't believe this, but many of these kids who would not really talk about the faith, the insights that they shared in this presentation was amazing.
It is.
This is evangelizing the culture.
Yeah, especially with young people. I mean, I'll tell you what, because they have not gotten that, all the fear inside of their head and career and all this junk inside of them yet. And I'll tell you what, you're right. I mean, if you can get this stuff into their hands and it's what's such a beautiful thing for them to do a report on this.
Yes.
And to really get young people on fire.
Yes.
About Jesus.
Yes.
And about God. And wow.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yes, and I just wanted to share something that Pope Francis said. You know, he talks about a church with a simple message.
Yes.
He says that the results of our pastoral work do not depend on a wealth of resources, but on the creativity of love.
Yes.
He argued that the message should be kept simple. At times, we lose people because they don't understand what we are saying. because we have forgotten the language of simplicity and import an intellectualism foreign to our people. This church does not obsess over whether Jesus is one in being or consubstantial with the Father. Rather, it presents Jesus as the compassion of God. You know,
fantastic.
And this is in a way for me to summarize what Shalom Tidings is about. This magazine is about bringing the compassion of God in the lives of people who are living in this day and age, you know, to the public.
Yeah, you know? people who are living. And they don't realize what they're missing.
Yes.
Now, you tell me, because I'm pretty sure I know what your answer is going to be. So this is 2 years ago this happened. So back up 3 years ago, and where you still had the library card.
Yes.
Right? And you're still got the movies, and you're, you know, watching movies, and and you're living your life, and you have a family, and you're going to Mass.
Yes.
What is the degree of living then compared to your degree of living today? Do you feel more alive?
Yes, I feel more alive today, and here's why. Because, you know, when I ask myself today, what can I do for my church? What can I do for the kingdom of God? I'll just give you one example. You know, I could be at home on Saturdays, and this is because I do this now with a friend in Kalamazoo.
Awesome.
I will call him up on a Saturday, you know, and I will say, hey, what are you doing in the evening? You know, he's like, oh, nothing much. And my instant response is, can we get together to pray? Awesome. You know, can we get together to cry with the church?
Wow.
For the church, you know, so here we are thinking about, you know, hey, what can I do for the kingdom of God? What can I do for my church? We are open to the ideas that the Holy Spirit is bringing us. Hey, get together.
Yeah.
Do nothing else, but just pray with the church.
Right.
You know, cry with the church, you know, pray for our country, pray for our nation. And we come together, the two of us men, we come together in his living room, informal setting, you know, relaxed.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we're just sitting on the floor of his living room, of his family room, and we just start praying. You know, we start thinking about, you know, different intentions. Okay, we need to pray for the pro-life ministry. You know, there's a lot of people who are struggling with this impurity, you know, young people, you know. So we start praying, we start crying, you know, and as we start praying, we start experiencing that pain. You know, it's not like we are praying because for somebody who is experiencing a pain, but it's like as we are praying, the Holy Spirit gives us the privilege of experiencing that pain with us.
Yes.
You know, the sorrow of the mother for her children who are wandering away from the faith.
Absolutely.
You know, the intensity of the prayer grows. We are praying, we are crying, you know, and then, you know, as we come together, you know, there's a time of loud prayer and praise, but then there's a time of silence where we come together and we're just listening to the word of God or listening to what God wants.
Contemplation,
just, exactly. Yeah. And in those times, God begins to probe us. Hey, begins to bring to our mind opportunities, maybe in our workplace.
Ideas,
exactly. Yeah. Maybe
creative messages. That's the Holy Father is telling us. Creative messages.
Exactly.
You don't have this big pile of money here that this is how we're going to make things happen.
Exactly.
You're just praying. You're experiencing the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And this wonderful friendship that you have with this other friend of yours. And wow.
Yes. You know, and this is way where, you know, I mean, I can say, you know, by responding to these ideas, because the whole idea of giving these magazines out to what people, I mean, this, you know, when you open yourselves up to the Holy Spirit, not only in that situation in the living room, but when you go to church, when you're in your workplace, you're thinking, you know,
right.
And because of that, when I went to my workplace one day, you know, I had a meeting with a business meeting with a director, you know, and there was another senior manager. And as I'm sitting there in that business meeting, the thought comes to my mind, I knew that her kids go to Catholic school.
Right.
So talk to her about the faith, you know, ask her if she would like to read the magazine. So the next day, I drop my kids off at the, my daughter off at the St. Monica School, and I go to the Adoration Chapel and I tell Jesus, I'm holding the magazine in my hands. Today, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go to the office of the senior director and the senior manager, and I'm going to offer the magazine. I'm going to talk to them about, you know, the ministry, the faith, you know.
Right.
And Lord, I also offer them into your Sacred Heart through the Immaculate of Mary. And my prayer is this, that I don't know how it's going to happen, but through this small sacrifice, you are going to make sure that not only them, but their family ends up in heaven. This is my prayer.
Wow.
You know, yeah, and you know, and I'm offering it to the most solid places I know as 100% guarantee.
Yeah.
The Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate of the Blessed Mother.
Right.
No way it's going to go wrong. You know?
Yeah.
So I go to the workplace and I go up to this lady, and ends up in our conversation that her husband is Catholic, but she is still thinking about joining the Catholic Church. She loves the church, you know.
Sure.
She goes to Mass, you know, but she hasn't made that next step of going to the RCA program, you know.
Right.
RCA program. So I give her the magazine, you know, and, you know, encourage her, you know, and give the magazine. But this is just one example of how when you open your mind up, you know,
yes,
and you decide to cry with the church, share the burden of the church,
yeah,
stand behind your priests and deacons who are out in the front, you know,
yeah,
and ask yourself, as a layperson, what is the maximum I can do? What is the minimum I can do? I mean, whatever it is that you ask, you open yourself up, Holy Spirit moves you into action.
Absolutely. You know? I need to ask you this question, though, because you mentioned, you know, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Yes.
Have you done some type of consecration of the Blessed Mother?
Yes. Well, actually, what I found out about Shalom Media, you know, this is another story about the magazine. If you notice on the Shalom Media's magazine, the inside cover always has the picture of the Blessed Mother.
Yes.
Now, there is a story behind that. When our founder, you know, Benny is the founder of this ministry, but when he initially started this ministry, it was the magazine ministry. What he did initially was mail out about 3,000 copies, you know, a whole number of copies across the state, Kerala, in India.
Okay.
And basically, there was not a single response, you know. And he was kind of distressed. He met with his spiritual director and asked, is this ministry really from the Lord? Should I continue it? They prayed together, and the spiritual director, a priest, said, go ahead, continue with it. When he got back to the office, him and his staff decided that they're going to hire a circulation manager for the magazine. The person they hired was our Blessed Mother, you know. And because of that very fact, her picture is on the inside cover. And since they did that, within a few months, a person from a neighboring state in India called him up and said, I saw this magazine lying in a home. I picked it up. I read it. I consumed it. I want to order 500 copies to distribute to people on the street.
Wow.
Another person called up with a similar story. In that year, the subscriptions just went up dramatically. And since that point, it's been increasing by the thousands.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, so the whole point of that story, the message it spoke to me was that when you consecrate anything that you do, you know, any prayer that you offer, you
yes
know, any sacrifice that you make, any commitment that you make, when you offer it to the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Mother,
yes,
it is solidified. I mean, it is, you have got all the anointing,
yes,
all the blessing of the church,
amen,
you know, with it, you know.
Yes.
And since that point, I was convinced that, you know, whatever I do, you know, you do it with the Blessed Mother. And, you know, another thing that really struck me too, when my wife, you know, I married my wife, and she moved to the United States, you know, one thing she told me is that this, you know, if we get an invitation to go to a prayer meeting, if they are not going to honor the Blessed Mother, then she's not going there, you know. I mean, she just said it outright.
God bless her.
You know, and you know, and but as I reflected on that, her statement, you know, it really spoke to my mind. And I've seen the fruit, you know.
Right.
Every time we have been to a gathering, you know, if it's a prayer meeting, especially a prayer meeting, and we have made an effort to pray the rosary.
Right.
In that gathering.
Nice.
We have found out that the anointing that has come upon that is amazing.
Well, I think what's really happening in the, not only in the church, but in the world, And if you talk to people about the Blessed Mother, you know, and many Catholics are very afraid of doing that, mm-hmm. especially in the last 50 years, we've kind of been beaten down on that. And we've kind of surrendered a lot of that ground with the Blessed Mother. And, you know, John Paul has taught us that, everything that I do is through Mary. And I did that Marian consecration, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago, and the St. Louis de Montfort consecration. And I'll tell you what, it is life-changing.
Yes.
You had mentioned the word opens up, and that's what happens. You get opened up.
Yes.
You get opened up, and Mary will do things. Everything points to Jesus.
Yes.
Everything goes from her to Jesus. Everything. And I tell people, I say, you know, just, you know, try it for, you know, 3 months. You know, try to do this. All that I do is for you and through you for the glory of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And for the glory of God and for this world. And it's like, it's an amazing, it makes amazing things happen.
Yes, yes.
It really does.
Exactly.
And people who you would think, women and men both, if you offer them and talk to them about the Blessed Mother and offer them a picture or a medal, a miraculous medal, and offer those pins to people, I usually have one on my lapel, and I give away 2 or 3 of those pins every week, it seems like, you know.
Yes.
And people need that.
Yes.
And they need this love. And what is it? It's simple. It's very simple. It starts out very simple.
Yes.
And nothing can be more simple than this beautiful woman who brought God into the world.
Yes.
And not to understand that and not to defend that is a huge mistake.
Yes.
And it really is. You want to get out of your comfort zone and get out of your comfort zone fast? Love her.
Yes. Yes.
Love the Blessed Mother.
Yes.
And you're out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
Boom. Just
yes.
like that.
Yes.
You have to talk about Jesus because Jesus is a big deal.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, for me, I know for me anyway, it's easier for me to talk about the love of Mary mm-hmm. and the love of this mother and then lead them to Jesus, lead them to the Eucharist.
Yes.
Because that's, and why is it so huge? Why is the Eucharist so huge? Because it is God.
Yes. Yes.
It is God. And Mary is this mother.
Yes.
We all know what mothers are like. Most of us have had good mothers, praise God.
Yes.
But some of us have not. And even those of us who have not had good mothers, we can experience this perfect mother.
Yes.
So I always invite people to do that. You know, come to her.
Yes.
Come to her and ask her to open you up.
This, yes.
This simplicity.
Yes.
This beautiful. And who knows more about suffering?
Yes.
You know? Who knows more about suffering at the foot of the cross than her?
Yes, exactly.
So let us continue. Yes. In case you're just joining us, we're meeting with Jensen Joseph. He's with Shalom Media, and their website is shalomworld.org. And they're going to be launching this new TV program, this channel, TV channel. So we're going to go into that, but why don't we continue on here? We've got at least another 20 minutes to go here. So what is the next thing you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, the other thing that I was talking as we, you know, continue to reflect on new evangelization, you know, there is a picture, you know, as I said, when I was attending a Shalom Leaders Conference, they presented, you know, the picture is this, you know, if you look in the gospel, Jesus talks about, you know, the good shepherd being willing to leave 99 sheep for the sake of the one sheep that went astray.
Right.
You know, if you look at today, what's happening? We 95% is outside the sheepfold, 5% is inside, and for whatever reason, we have decided to stay inside the sheepfold for the sake of the 5%.
Yeah.
There is something fundamentally wrong with this picture.
Trying to save our own hides.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and because, you know, and the thing is that, you know, when we think about stepping outside, you know, again, we know that we are going to come across the pain, the inconveniences, you know. But if you look at the history of the Catholic Church, and again, one of the things that I really woke me up and also really brought me to the heart of Catholic spirituality was the awareness, the instruction about the history of the Church, mm-hmm. the tradition of the Church, and the life of saints. When you go to a Shalom conference, they will unload, you know, in a big way, these three things upon you, along with Scripture, you know. Yeah. And what it spoke to me was that if you look at the Church, where has the Church made the most investment in? You know, today we talk about diversification of portfolio. You know, I'm in finance, so that's why some of the terms sure. I use are financial.
Sure.
But
that's okay.
But if you look at Catholic spirituality, there is no diversification of portfolio. In Catholic spirituality, you place all your bets in certain values, core values.
Okay.
Prayer, penance, suffering, sacrifice, devotion to Mary. You know, these are the places. And if you look at the Church and how they have invested heavily in this, they have never regretted that, because the impact that they have been able to make on the world is not just for 1 year, but for generations,
right.
You know, especially. So that is why, you know, when Jesus says, you know, go out. You know, go out into the deep, you know, put out into the deep, go out of the sheepfold, you know. When you decide to embrace that pain and suffering
right.
that comes along with stepping out of your comfort zone, yeah. it pays huge dividends, you know. And the other thing about evangelizing culture, you know, Jeremiah 29:7, you know, it says, promote the welfare of the city to which I have exiled you. Pray for it to the Lord, because in its welfare, you will find your welfare, you know. And the story that Shalom had shared was the story of Lot and Abraham, you know.
Sure.
Lot had a choice. I mean, he was given a choice to pick any area. He looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, a city that was thriving, vibrant, a lot of opportunities, and he went there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many years later, God is getting ready to destroy that very city.
Yeah.
But pay attention to the conversation that Abraham had with God. And Abraham asked, what if there were 10 people? And God said, if there were 10 people there, right. I would not destroy it. So that speaks to us a very fundamental or a very key message, is that when Lot was sent, when God allowed Lot to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, he entrusted him with a responsibility. Hey, you have experience the living God. You know about the living God.
Right.
Do something to share that message with other people,
hmm.
you know. And what happened was he basically focused on his family and his circle. Everybody around him in his household was okay. The rest of the people were not.
Everybody and else was corrupt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why when Abraham pleaded with God, he could not even find 10 people. You know, so the whole idea, if you decide to stay in your sheepfold for the sake of the 5%, doesn't make sense. It doesn't align with what we see in the Gospels,
yeah.
what we see in Jesus' life.
Right.
We need to step out, you know. Because when Lot decided to do that, he lost. I mean, God did not take his life, but he lost everything he had.
Yeah.
His own, even his own wife.
Yeah.
That's why, promote the welfare of the city to which I've exiled you. Pray for it to the Lord, because in its welfare, you will find your welfare. So if the culture around us, as we live in the United States, is going south, and we expect that it's not going to affect us,
yeah.
even though we are trying to live a whole, you know, our life and in the context of the in the context of the Church, and you know, I mean, the thing that I keep hearing people say is, "I'm conservative. I'm conservative.
Yeah.
I'm conservative."
Yeah. Or I'm liberal. I'm,
you know,
a liberal.
Yeah,
my
question
doesn't matter.
Is, great, but what are you doing with it?
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing with it? You know,
right.
it's because Catholic spirituality, it's not enough just to say I'm conservative.
Correct.
You need to live it. You
Correct.
Know? And living it is doing ministry out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
You know, going out there, you know, taking that pain, that sacrifice.
Well,
know?
And if we look at divine mercy, if we can open that up just a little bit, because that's when Shalom Media is launching, is on Divine Mercy Sunday.
Yes.
And I think there's a great tail behind that, because how we respond in love, and I don't know if Pope Francis said this or, you know, somebody smarter than me, I know that,
mm-hmm.
but how we respond to sin in love is through mercy.
Yes.
Okay? Mercy is telling the person the truth, This is what's going on in your life. I can see standing where I'm at. You need help.
Yes.
Can I talk to you? Can I pray with you? Not I'm going to pray. I'll say some prayers for you and good luck.
Yes.
You know, but no, let us stop right here and let us pray together.
Yes.
Let me hold your hands. Let me touch you.
Yes.
And of course you want to ask for permission. If I can, you know, give me your hand to pray. No, you know, can I hold your hand?
Yes.
And can I pray with you for just this moment to see if we can help?
Yes.
You know? And I think too often, you know, if we're very liberal and we think, you know, everybody should just be able to do what they want to do, that is not love.
Yes.
And that is not mercy.
Yes.
You know, because you're not telling the person what the truth is. Same thing as if you're a conservative.
Yes.
It is not love or mercy to say, well, you're just going to go to hell. That's what's going to happen, you know, and that's it. Well, that's, you know, you can't start there.
Yes.
You have to start where they're at.
Yes.
You have to meet people where they're at. And sometimes people are totally in prison with drugs or alcohol or sex or gambling or shopping or work or movies.
Yes.
Or say they've got two or three library cards. Yes. Who knows? You know, we can use that library card as a real good analogy. Everybody's got library cards.
Yes.
But they're all different kinds. And we have to meet them where they're at to help bring them out of that. And we bring them out of that through mercy.
Yes.
Through this divine mercy. And, you know, any of you who are not familiar with that, you know, I encourage you to look into that because, you know, the cleansing waters of baptism and the restoring of strength through the Eucharist.
Yes.
All done through, you know, this scene at the foot of the cross.
Yes.
Okay, where the Roman soldier puts the spear into the side of Jesus and the church is born.
Yes.
Those are tools for us to use today.
Yes, yes.
So come on, we got to wake up.
Yes.
You know, wake up. And it's not you doing it. And it's not you or me doing it or fixing it. It's God.
Yes.
And that's always the thing to remember because every situation's not going to work out.
Yes.
People are going to hurt themselves. People are going to die. This is a battlefield.
Yes.
But people are going to survive.
Yes. Yes.
And even those that die, let God take care of that.
Yes.
God will take care of that.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Beautiful stuff. So what is the next, we got 12 minutes left, so we can.
Okay. I just wanted to share some of Pope Francis' words.
Wonderful.
You know. He says here, when someone goes to pray before Jesus in the tabernacle, you look at him, but do you let him see you? Allow him to look at you. Mm. Encourage Pope Francis. It is in this union with the Lord that we find the strength to go out of ourselves in order to share the gospel with others, he explained. These evangelization efforts must bring us to the periphery because that is exactly where God himself goes. Pope Francis reflected on the story of Jonah, who was called by God out of his calm and orderly life to go to the city of Nineveh, which was beyond his schema at the periphery of his world. This story teaches us that God is not afraid of the periphery. In fact, if you go to the periphery, you will find him there. He then went on to give an example of how catechese could do this. In Buenos Aires, there are many children who don't even know how to make the sign of the cross.
Mm.
This is a periphery. We must go there. And then he continues and he says, Pope Francis went on to emphasize the need for creativity in catechesis because you need to know the circumstances in which you preach the gospel.
Amen.
Although the gospel message never changes, we must be able to adapt our methods according to our circumstances. God is not rigid. Moreover, said the Pope, Christian catechese cannot remain closed off in our group, in our parish, in our movement, in our environment.
Amen.
Such an attitude leads a person to being sick. Rather, we need the kind of catechese who has the courage to take the risk to go out preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And in another place he says, Pope Francis has also emphasized that faith is a gift not reserved for a few, but offered with generosity. It is a gift that one cannot keep to oneself, but it is to be shared. If we want to keep it only to ourselves, we will become isolated, sterile, and sick Christians.
Wow, amazing. And I'll tell you what, making the sign of the cross, you know, like he said, people who don't even know what making the sign of the cross is, and that's not only in Buenos Aires, that's right here. That's here in Michigan, here in Kalamazoo, here in Grand Rapids. Do not be afraid to do that. In the words of Pope John Paul, be not afraid. Make the sign of the cross. Make the sign of the cross while you're out to dinner, eating. Make the sign of the cross when you see a fire truck or a police car. You know, protect that police officer to help that person who has committed the crime, to help the person who's been the victim of that crime.
Yes.
Make the sign of the cross. Do not be afraid to do that. That's a form of evangelization.
Yes.
Very quiet, very passive, beautiful form. But how many people does that upset?
Yes.
You know, including some Christians, unfortunately.
Yes.
You know, evangelize them.
Yes.
Why does that make you so upset?
Yes.
Why are you so upset? Because I make the sign of the cross.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm doing? I'm praying for those people.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me I cannot pray? Is that what you're telling me? Is that what your preacher is telling me? Is that what your preacher is telling you?
Yes.
Because if that's the truth, that person, is it possible that their father is God? If he says don't do that?
Yes.
Wow. I'll tell you what, you got to be careful.
Yes.
So make the sign of the cross. Ask the Blessed Mother for help. Do not be afraid to be Catholic.
Yeah.
Do not be afraid to be a Christian. Do not be afraid to love.
Yes.
And open yourself up.
Yes.
And burn that library card.
Yes.
Libraries are for the most part good.
Yes.
We don't want to discourage everyone from going, but the library card is a thing that can be anything, you know. It can be if you're just watching movies all the time and you're not spending your time wisely.
Yes.
That's why we're using this library card idea, because we know there's a lot of good Catholics who go to the library.
Yes, 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 yes.
But it's what you spend your time doing.
Yes.
Which is so important.
Yes.
So, Jensen, just a wonderful time with you here and very beautiful. So is there anything else? So Shalom Media is going to launch.
Yes, yes.
So what's the next thing we want to go into here?
Yes, so Shalom Media is launching on Divine Mercy Sunday. It's basically, as I said, reaching over 100 million viewers worldwide. You know, this will be a channel that will be broadcasting to the entire world, you know. And so there will be a separate transmission, you know, of the programming to the United States and Europe. We actually right now have, the whole thing is about communicating the heart of the church, you know, the truth, beauty, and goodness of the church to humanity, you know. And
this is kind of almost like a Catholic YouTube, is it not?
Yeah, yes.
It's live. This is live programming. They were at the men's conference. They were taping that for future broadcasts. They were, and they go all around the country, all around the world to do this. But the question, if I can interject this, I apologize for interrupting, Jensen, but Benny, the founder,
yes,
when he printed these 3,000 copies, how long ago was that?
That was in 1989 is when they began. They started as a prayer group, and I think the Shalom Tidings, the Shalom. So the magazine that was initially launched, it was in 1991, was the Shalom Times.
Okay.
So that is the magazine that is in the Indian language.
Very
good. The Shalom Tidings is the English word, magazine.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
So in just 20 years.
Yes.
So this has been building over the last 20 years. And, of course, we know EWTN and all the great things that they have done in the time that they've been, but this is very complimentary to EWTN. This
yes.
is in no way like, replacing or anything like that. And it has a lot of charismatic stuff in
yes.
it.
Yes, yes.
A lot of Eucharistic adoration.
Yes.
A lot of conferences. I'm going to let you continue.
Yes, and okay. Basically, I just want to when the Shalom Media launches, or the Shalom World channel launches on April 27, Divine Mercy Sunday, it will be available on Amazon Fire TV, Roku, Google TV, Samsung TV, Android tablets, phones, and Apple iPhones, iPad, and live streamed on the shalomworld.org website. The ministry is also working to bring the channel to Apple TV, Dish Network, DirecTV, AT&T Viewers, and Verizon in subsequent phases. You know?
Awesome. So call your subscribers. Call the people at DirecTV. Call the people at Dish Network. If that's what you've got, and request that in a very good way. You know, I mean, you know, send them a request every, you know, week or every month, or drop them an email. Because that's how they're going to know that you want this. They're not going to know that you want this channel just out of thin air. They know they want to take care of their subscribers, and heavens knows they have room on there.
Yes.
There's 1,000 channels. I think it's unlimited. But this is good quality programming, good quality Catholic programming. So I think it's wonderful.
Yes, yes. And the other thing that Shalom is offering is, Shalom Media is about offering every ministry associated with the Catholic Church across the world an opportunity to evangelize the media, evangelize the world through the media.
Amen.
Because one of my commitments for the Diocese of Kalamazoo is give an opportunity, find opportunities for the ministry. So one example is, recently we had the St. Monica School kids and the St. Augustine Cathedral School, Middle School, pray the Divine Mercy and the rosary, and we did a production that we will broadcast, you know, because one of the things we will have on the TV is devotions. So we need different adults, young adults, and youth groups coming together and praying the rosary and Divine Mercy, you know, and we will broadcast on TV so that people who watch it can pray, you know.
Yeah,
and again,
awesome.
It was an amazing experience, because here you have like kind of like a production thing happening. You know, we had these kids come up, you know, we are using professional cameras, powerful microphones that have a link into the camera. And these kids kind of like doing a filming, you know, they're live out there. And, you know, as they go through they're saying the mysteries, you know, we're like, wait a minute, you know, can you say it a little more slowly, you know, read it, you know. So it's kind of like a filming, and it was a wonderful experience for them. They were really excited and amazed that, hey, I'm going to be on TV. I'm doing this filming, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing that Becky Wright was telling me is that when she presented this idea to the school, she was saying that many kids went on YouTube to find out how to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Wonderful.
This is evangelizing the culture.
Absolutely.
Inspiring a group of kids to go on YouTube to do something positive.
Absolutely.
You know?
And this is also the desire of Catholic radio, too. See? So, and of course, the media with EWTN and Shalom Media, and all this is great ways to evangelize, but it still needs that personal touch. It still needs you and me to reach out to somebody and say, hey, have you listened to this CD? And that's the other thing too.
Yeah.
If you're gonna buy a Lighthouse CD at your parish, and if you don't have one of those Lighthouse CD racks, contact lighthousemedia.com or lighthousemedia.org. And get one of those in your parish. And take one of those CDs. But before you hand that CD out, or before you hand out one of your magazines, read the magazine.
Yes.
Listen to the CD.
Yes.
Know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Don't be a lazy Catholic. Don't be even lazier by not doing nothing.
Yes.
But read the magazine, listen to the CD, and then hand it out to somebody, and then talk to them about it for 5 minutes. And just, you know, this is sharing our faith. And your life becomes exciting.
Yes.
You know, if you're sitting at home and your life is all so, the day, one day after another, is just it's just boring, you know, unless you invite Jesus into your heart and really experience the love of God, the love of the church, the beauty of the church, and really be able to evangelize. So we're down to 30 seconds.
Yes.
Jensen, a couple of things just want to say.
Final lesson that I learned about evangelization.
Yeah.
If you're busy with God's affairs, God will be busy with your affairs.
Awesome.
You know, who do you marry? What job do you take? Where do you build a house? When you start to focus on God's things, God will take care of all these other things in your life. And when God is included in all these affairs, he will give you the best and not the second best.
Absolutely the best.
Yes.
Jensen, thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you. And thank you very much for being with us on the Epiphany Radio program. May God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Epiphany with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich, on Holy Family Radio. If you have suggestions or comments, you can email us at epiphany@holyfamilyradio.net. Also, if you would like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.